any other day. I want you guys to act at home just like you would here. If you want to jump up and shout, that's great. If you want to sit down and fall asleep, that's okay too. Whatever you want to do, we still want to bring the gospel message today. And we'll do this each week until we all meet back together for fellowship. It's a different church. If you were to look around, you may hear a little echo in here. Echo!
Echo!
Yeah, that's because the building is virtually empty. It's a shame we brought a bunch of donuts for all those that are here today. So Andrew and Eric and I ate several donuts. Thank you for that. But we have a message today for you of hope and encouragement. The building is just, you know, when we say the church, it's just the building. But really, God's Word says we are the church. So the church is going to look different. The church building may be empty, but its people are full today. Don't forget, we are the church. People are looking to God's people for direction, for instruction, for help, for hope, for encouragement. So today, let's be sure that we can be that for those that are struggling. We can be that for our brothers and sisters as well. With that in mind, I do want to remind you it is time for tithes and offering at Prayer of Faith. Those still continue. They still continue. We still have needs that we have to pay for month after month. So we're going to take just a minute to pray over our tithes and offering. I want you guys just to purpose in your heart today what you will give, despite the fact that you're not here. We have four different options I'll tell you about in just a minute to give. Actually, I'll tell you about those right now. You can give through our tithing app, and we'll send that out on the Prayer of Faith text. The online, you can go to prayeroffaith.net. There's an option there to give online that will give you instructions on how to do that. You can mail a check to the church. Do not mail cash, but you can mail a check to the church address. Just mail it here, Prayer of Faith, and put tithe. Or you can give when we all return for fellowship. Now, here's the thing we have to be careful of. God's Word says, man, it is up to you to give, to tithe the 10%. If you have $10, I get one of those. And I don't mean me, I mean God saying that. The church gets one. If you have 10 eggs, God gets one of those eggs. If you have $100, He gets 10. That's what He calls for in His Word. And right now, He is calling us to a greater strength and obedience in His Word with everything that's going on. And I know some of you are struggling in that. We want to be able to help you as well, but we can't help when it's not coming in from those that have opportunity to give. The widow, she was struggling, but she gave what she had. That's what God is calling us to do, to be obedient people. Now, when we do that, again, I want you to purpose in your heart how you will tithe continually, even though we may not be meeting in person. We still have fellowship and the church still has needs as well. With that in mind, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you just to pray over these individuals that are watching right now, that you would purpose in their heart what they would give. Lord, we know that some of those people are in need themselves, and we want to be conscious of that. You didn't call us to give just when we're in times of plenty, but you told us to give even in our times of want and need. God, I pray that our church is an obedient people, not just in a few of your commandments, but in all. All the things you call us to do and all the things you call us to be, that we would be obedient in those. God, today as a church universally is struggling how to meet the needs of their parishioners and of just the world, I pray that we rise above the worldly people, that we show ourselves different, that we show our fruit, that we have the fruit of the Spirit that is evident to those that are looking. Now is not the time for Christians to be weak. Now is not the time for Christians to show themselves a poor witness for God. Now is the time for us to stand up and be bold and be brave and be of good hope and courage today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you've put that in your heart, what God would have you give. But again, what we pray for is that the church is here for other people so that we can be a strong and great witness for them. As we pretend that we're a church today, I want you to do the same things. If you have an amen, I want you to say amen. And I hope if you have families that you've gathered your children that you've gathered your parents, whatever it may be, that you've all gathered together just to worship as we normally do, to keep some of those disciplines in place. Anybody looking at this as a vacation to not have to study God's Word, to hear His Word, to not have to give. Oh my goodness, we're not meeting, there's not a need at church, so we don't have to give. All those things show immature spiritual faith. So with that in mind, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
and be glad in it. I hope you said that at home. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it today. All right, if you would, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew, and we'll get there in just a minute. But Matthew, we're going to study Matthew and Philippians today. But I want to make sure today that we understand a lot of churches are struggling, and they're thinking, how will we meet? What will we do? Should we meet? And we planned on meeting in the beginning, but with everything going on and new information coming out, it's best that we stay away. I want to assure you that the church has been cleaned from top to bottom. It has been thoroughly sanitized. And Andrew, I know you've done a great job. Your wife Chelsea helped as well. Anyone else that's helped, thank you so much for that. But this church is clean. Ground Zero is clean. Those buildings are clean. They're not in use for the next 2 weeks. Nobody will be meeting there except for our sermon message that we'll be presenting to you guys. When we look at God's Word, that's where we should be looking to. It's okay to look at Facebook and say, let's get some updates from Facebook. But God's Word will tell us how to respond to the information we're getting, how to respond with what we're hearing, how to respond to what we're seeing, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, and what we're fearful of. God's Word is the place that we need to go to that. Some churches are saying, hey, we want to live by faith, not by fear. Man, I agree with that. We do want to do that. We want to live by faith and not fear. But I also know that He gave us a spirit of discernment. And He says that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Let's start there. We've got to be careful what we're listening to, what we're believing in. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, and trust me, in this day and age of uncertainty, there will be many false prophets start rising to the top trying to make a name for themselves and try and do something for themselves personally for financial gain and other gain. But it says many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. But right up above there, I want to read it once again. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And it says, man, we have an opportunity to discern God's word. We have to test these things. I'm going to read one other scripture. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And it says the same thing, basically, about testing. It says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Why? Verse 10 says, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen? God wants us to discern what He has for us and what He's put out there for us. Now, I said we're going to focus on two scriptures today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Just like I would in church, I'm going to give you just a minute to turn there. And I hope you have your Bibles out and are following along. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. We could stop right there and be done with the message. Jesus Christ Himself says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. About what? About your life. Do not worry about that. Do not worry about what you will eat or drink or about your body. Don't worry about what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I saw this morning as I was getting ready for church, I looked out. There was a deer outside my bedroom window. The Father is feeding them. What? Off the bushes. He feeds those that He cares about and loves and provides for them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Let me ask you, as you worry about what's going on right now, does that add anything to your life? I dare say it probably takes away from your life and will take hours from your life that could be valuable hours. Verse 28, and why do you worry about your clothes?
See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And I love verse 33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek those things first, not what will I eat, what will I drink, what will I wear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I would agree right now, each day has enough trouble of its own. Who thought a month ago we'd say, oh my gosh, where can I get toilet paper? Who thought? Really, fights on YouTube about people fighting over cases and cases of toilet paper. God says, don't worry about that stuff. I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to take care of you. When God says those things, though, we have to listen. We have to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. And he has requirements of us as well. What we're doing today, we have to focus on and say, does this have or will it have eternal value in the kingdom of God? Or is it really just about me and this day and my will and my way? That's tough. Am I living my will, my way, or am I living God's will, his way? Church, that's a tough question to ask yourself right now in these times. As you look around and say, oh my gosh, I don't know if my business will be open or closed. I don't know if I'll be out of work or not. I don't know if I can find the provisions I need or not. That's a very tough question to ask yourself. But as Christ followers, I think we have to ask ourselves, am I living my will, my way, or am I living God's will, his way? Very tough question. But I believe God is calling us back to him. Several scriptures throughout the Old and New Testament tell about God calling his people back to him. Why? They've walked off and left him. And then they look around and say, God, where are you? He says, I'm right here beside you. Where'd you go? Or where are you going? He's calling us back to him. Live a life that is worry-free. Live in him and for him today. Not in the life of worry. Not saying, oh my gosh, how will he provide? By the way, I said this message has two things. Today's message is living in times of want. With that in mind, living in times of want, turn over to the book of Philippians. And we'll finish out in Philippians today. But I think, you know, these other scriptures tying about how we should live and what we're living for. But Philippians, to me, brings it home. And I love the book of Philippians and all the different instruction it gives and how we should live and what we should be living for. And as we look at that, we'll read Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read the entire chapter. There's a lot of things in there, beginning, middle, and end of that chapter that tie together about where we are today, living in times of want, and how to get through those and how God wants us to be in those. And it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And I think I said I was going to read verse 9 through 11, but I wanted to read that. And actually, that's not accurate. We're going to read the whole chapter. But I love it. And it says, brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for. He says, man, I love you. My joy and my crown, they stand firm in the Lord in this way. He said in verse 2, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, how these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Now listen to verse 4. This is a tough thing for several people right now. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. That is tough for some of you right now. You are dealing with financial issues, relationship issues, physical issues, emotional issues, issues that some of us can't even comprehend right now. You say, how in the world do I rejoice? Because you rejoice in Him, not in the situation. You rejoice in the fact that you have a Father that loves you and cares about you. And you rejoice in the fact that your final home, whenever that is, be it today, be it 100 years from now, that your final home will be with Him. That's why our children's church is so important, to raise up our young people in the Christian faith so that they can make the choice to live a life for God and have their name written in the book of life as well. And they know where they're spending eternity, no matter what the world is facing, no matter what crisis comes upon them. This has really opened up a lot of great conversations at work, especially in my office space at work. And one of the people asked me the other day, a young person, I said, do you think this is from God? And I think it is. I think all things are from God. And I think He is definitely sending a message to His people, as He has done throughout the Old and New Testament. He's calling us back to Him. Again, as He's done in the Old and New Testament, time and time again, calling His people back to them. A lot of times they have to go through storms. And I sent this out to one of our church members the other day. And I said, regardless of the storm that we're going through, we have to remember that God is in control of both the wind and the waves that we're going through. But He is in control of the vessel that we are in going through those storms. So not only does He control the wind and the waves, He controls the rudder on the vessel that we're going through that storm on. We have to remember to rely on Him and have faith in Him. He will get us through everything we go through. Last week, my message, I talked about the fact that He says, I will take your troubles and remove them. Past troubles, present troubles. You don't have to worry about them. I'm going to remove them. So we read on. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Sometimes we think, Lord, you are so far away from me and my trouble and my struggles. He's not. He is a conversation away. We sometimes are just too stubborn to call on His name and say, Lord, I need help. I've made a mess of this. Lord, I need some help. Lord is near. In this time of trouble, He is still near. He is never far away from us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I find that very powerful. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, what about a paycheck? Well, what about toilet paper? Well, what about food? I can't find the same food. Well, what about the rising prices? Maybe someone's price gouging. Those things should all be taken care of. They're not price gouging at the pump. I remember in 1982, gasoline was $1 an hour. And as prices have risen over the years, actually it was 99 cents a gallon. Because that's when we moved from Albuquerque, New Mexico to Oklahoma City. And that price dipped down to below $1. We said, oh Lord, let's go load up all our cars, 3 vehicles we had to drive out here. And we filled up all those cars. And now with the gas prices, they're low. Do we rejoice in that? Do we give thanksgiving for that? Probably not, because we found something else to complain about. We can become such critics and such judgmental people during times like this. And I think, man, why do we have to critique everything that people do? Somebody may say, my goodness, they sanitized the church and now they're up there fouling it out. You know, there's always going to be a critic. I don't worry about them. I saw a guy the other day, had done a YouTube video trying to be a help to tell people, guys, wash your hands and do this. And he went to dry his towels, And immediately, what did he get? People started jamming him because he left the water running. And what a waste of water that was for those 30 seconds. We become such critics. In times like this, God says, let your gentleness be evident to whom? To all. It doesn't say just to the church family, but the rest forget them. No, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. We can't pick and choose what part of the gospel we want to follow. Do not be anxious about anything. In prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And listen to this in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That sounds great. That sounds fantastic. His peace will pass and overtake our understanding of what's going on here. We don't have to understand it all. I know some of you want to understand everything. We don't have to. He says, not only do you not have to, but don't try to. Try to gain understanding, but he says some things are beyond your understanding and comprehension. He says, I'm going to pass your understanding. I'm going to overtake your understanding. And then that peace that you get when I overtake your understanding of it, and you put your faith in me, he says, that peace, which is God's peace, will guard and protect your hearts and your minds. And that's what we need. We need to protect our hearts and our minds right now. There's a lot of things going on out there. If we don't protect them, we could be overtaken by the enemy. I hope someone stood up at home and said amen. Verse 4 through 7 that we just read, it's time for us to rejoice. It's time for us people to show their gentle spirit. It's time to relax and not be anxious. It's time to pray to God. It's time to present your request to God. Quit presenting it to everybody else or no one and present your request to God. It's time to serve Him. It's time to obey Him in all matters of life. To find His peace that will guard your heart and your mind. Now let's read on in verse 8. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I love that. He tells us right here, these are the things today and yesterday and tomorrow that we should be focusing on. And then he tells us in verse 9, take the learning that you got from me, the things you received and heard from me and in me, take those things, all the learning you've done, and use it. Put it into practice for others. When we do that for others, we're helping spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just went home. I can't see out of my dirty glasses. I said the other week, last Sunday it was, we have the opportunity and we have the privilege to tell others about our God. To tell them about our faith. You know, and the most important thing is not just to tell them about our God, but tell them about our faith. Your faith. Man, I don't worry in times of this. Why? Because God's Word tells me not to. You know how many godly people are out there running around going, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Turn to the teaching you've had over the years, whether you're a new Christian or been one for several years. Your teaching will tell you where to turn to in times of trouble. God says, I can make an easy way out. But remember, He didn't do it for Moses. He said, I have a purpose for that. So you don't go back to an easy reliance back on what you have. So you don't go back to your pile of vomit and lap it up like the dog. So you don't go back to your mud hole like the pig. Because it's too comfortable there. It's easy there. It's not easy going through these times, but it's easier. And we have a life that we can live freely from anxiety when we trust and rely on Jesus Christ. Now is not the time, as I said when I prayed earlier, it's not the time for us to be weak or poor witnesses to our Savior Jesus Christ. We have a big cross over in the side wall over here. Jesus Christ went to that cross. That was the pain he had to endure. Why? For us. We don't want to be a poor witness in these times for him just because we're scared. We're fearful. We're afraid. We don't know. We've lived in our will and our ways, and all of a sudden we don't know how to pay for our will and our ways. We don't know how to do that. I said last week as well that worldly people bless themselves with worldly things. There's nothing wrong with having things. But as others have said, the things have you. If you're in a time right now, it's tough to ask those questions. And it's tough to look and say, oh, have I been living outside of my means just so I can be selfish about the things that I have? God wants us all to have one purpose. But that doesn't mean we all have the same exact life. We all go through different things. Now today as we read this, verse 12 is an area I want to focus on. We're going to read 10, start in verse 10 right now. And it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at least you renewed your concern for me. I can't help but think, is that not God talking to us? He, God, rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at least we have renewed our concern for him, that we're living for him. And it says, indeed you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Christians, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Have you learned to be content regardless of the circumstances you're facing? Because you've lived a life of plenty for so long and now is a time of want. Do you say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or do you say, God, you have blessed me and now I'm going through a time of need. And you will continue to provide for me just as you have before. Now verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then verse 13 tells us how and why he can do that. Why he can endure all those circumstances and situations. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Church, we can do all things through Jesus Christ. We cannot do all things through ourselves. We cannot do all things through Adam or through Eric. But we can do all things through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gives us strength. He gives us the power to endure things that our natural body cannot endure. But the supernatural forces can help us to endure and get past those. When he calls us to be witnesses for him, when we have the opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell other people about it. And then last week I said, man, we have to earn the right to say, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christian. Really, with those actions, with those words, with that language, with those habits, with those hang-ups, with those addictions. Now, we can still say, I'm a Christian with those things. But I'm a broken Christian. But the important thing is, are we on the road to repentance? Are we on the road to give up those things and to change our life to a life that is transformed through Jesus Christ. If we are, great, we're earning the ability to say, I'm a Christian. But a Christ follower says, man, that's a little step further. I'm taking action in my life to follow Him every day. And I realize when I mess up, and I realize opportunities I have. Why? Because He is showing those to me. We've got enough people in the world pointing out our faults. When Christ reveals those to us, He also says, I will reveal those to you and sin in your life, but I will also reveal a way out of those sins. He says, I've come so that you do not have to be burdened by those sins anymore. You can be a sinless person if you rely on me and follow me. Now, for those that have struggled with sin in the past and forgiveness, He also says, man, I died on that cross for your sins. As I said last week, you don't have to bear those anymore. It's important as Christ followers, part of our witness is to be able to tell other people, Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins. Amen. Doesn't matter what I've done. He has forgiven me, and He can also forgive you of yours. What an amazing testimony. I was here. I once was lost. But man, by the power of Jesus Christ, I am now found. I once was blind. He came and removed the scales off my eyes. And now I see. I searched to Jesus, the Savior, that I can worship, and I found Him. I once was fatherless, but now I am a father in heaven. And He loves me more than anything. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. As he traveled around to the churches, nobody cared about providing for his needs, except the church in Philippi. And it says, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid there more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. For I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he said, greet all of God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings as well. All the Lord's people here send you greetings, especially those belonging to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I love Philippians, as I said. And in verse 12, where he called out, he said, I know. He said, I understand. I know. I've been through it, and I know what it is like to be in need. But I also know what it's like to be in plenty. Our life probably has peaks and valleys as we grow. And as we go through different times, through the economy, through our own life changes. When you're a couple, newly married, if you don't have any children, you don't have as many needs. When you start having children, you start having other needs. You may have been in time of plenty before. You may be in time of plenty with children. Those times can change. as we look at the changing times in the world, in the universe today, not just in America, not just in Oklahoma, but in the world, people are looking to the church saying, what are you guys doing? The first thing we need to show them is we are relying on God. We are not relying on man, but we are relying on God to provide for us. We know that He will provide for His people. We know that He loves His people. Oh, and by the way, we're not meeting up at our church building, but we're still meeting every Sunday to study His Word. We're not meeting Wednesday nights, but I would ask that you guys take time Wednesday night just as a discipline to open the Bible and study it as a family, as a couple, as an individual. With all the technology we have a lot of ability to still communicate with one another. Reach out to one another. Check on one another. And I ask with that in mind that if you have needs, that you let Pastor Eric and myself know. Now, most of you know, I don't have Facebook. Okay? That's not my wheelhouse. That's not what I do. I don't have Facebook. If you have a need, don't rely on someone else to tell me. Pick up the phone and call me. Man, I don't know what your phone number is. Go to our website, prayeroffaith.net. Eric and I's cell phone numbers have been on there for years. Go to our website, see what's on it. There's opportunity to give on there. There's opportunity to listen to past messages. You can tell other people, hey, next Sunday we're doing the same thing. Get on here at 11 o'clock and meet. You don't even have to leave your house. But spend your time in His Word. Look to Him for strength in times of weakness in the world. But I'm telling you today, God has revealed to me over the last week, and He said, I'm calling my people. Now, He hasn't clarified everything to me, but He said, I am calling my people back to me. And His Word says that. He says, yeah, and I'm doing it now. He's calling His people to a great awakening. He's calling His people to a great revival, a great return, a great service, to great obedience, to great giving, to great rejoicing. But He is calling His people also to a great harvest. When His people return to Him and serve Him and give to Him and worship Him, man, that harvest is going to be plentiful. His harvest hasn't been plentiful in a long time for many places. He's relying on the workers and the servants, and that's you and that's me. And that's why I'm here today. Because God has given me a calling. And that calling is to continue to preach. And we have a need to continue to hear the gospel message. Pastor Eric's up here. And Andrew's up here helping us get this on Facebook Live. Servants of God. He's calling us in this time to respond, to react, to return. But listen, church, He is calling us to repentance. And He said, man, if you want to respond and react and return to me, don't do it secretly. You need to repent and return to me. Doing it secretly doesn't benefit anybody but yourself, and all it does is save you from a prideful thing of having to humble yourself before God and His people. But He says, when you repent, that shows humility, and that tells other people, I am moving in that person's life. Let others see Him moving in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that this gospel message today be multiplied to others, that our church body can share this with others, Lord. Those people we work with, those people that may be home if we've been sent home from work and unable to work right now, that we can contact our co-workers. If they don't have a church body, that they could at least hear the gospel message here. Lord, if they're looking for a church in this time of trouble, that they can lean on the church body. God, for those facing difficult situations and decisions that have to be made, God, I pray that they seek you and your will as they make those decisions. God, I pray today that some decisions will be tough, and some of the look inside of ourselves is going to be tough during this time for a lot of Christians. Godly people will bless themselves in Him. Worldly people will bless themselves in worldly goods. God, are we living outside of our means? More importantly, are we living outside of your means? God, you're calling us back to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move about your people. I ask you to move in their homes and in their workplaces. I ask you to move in their cars. I ask you to move in their living rooms, in their bedrooms, and in their yards. And I ask you just to rattle that fence so that we can decide which side of that fence are we going to be on. As for me and my household, we shall worship the Lord. Amen. We hope you join us here next week, 11 o'clock again. We'll have a sermon. If you have any needs, please reach out to Pastor Eric or myself. For tithing, again, there's four options. You can go to prayerfaith.net. You can give online. You can mail a check. You can purpose in your heart what you're giving when we return. Or you can go to our app, which is online as well. Have a blessed and amazing week. Please reach out to one another and reach out to us if you have needs. May God bless you. Amen.